It's fun.
Tower, North West London, Wednesday, Dalet Sivan, 24th of May, Rav Yoni Birbaum Shlita, Megillas Rus, and the Geiros Process. This week's Tower has been sponsored Lirafua Shlemo Shel Gita Gela Bas Ruchama Ayala Shatichia Leshishtava Rafua Shlemo Besarich Shal Chali Yisrael Amen.
Morning, everyone. So, obviously, in the last couple of days before Shavuos, it's always nice to look at a theme that is particularly relevant to Shavuos. Geiros is a theme which is, of course, very commonly looked at on Shavuos when we consider Megillas Rus. The particular angle that I'd like to bring to it is really to do with the concept of Kabbalas Mitzvos and the idea of what it means also to ensure that there is the Geiros is for the right reasons. There's a sincerity, there's a commitment wholeheartedly. Just to sort of lay my cards on the table a little bit, my connection particularly to the Geiros process is I have the privilege, one of the roles I have to do with the London based in is running the Geiros process, director of the Geiros department. So I deal with this, if you like, involved together with the Dayonim day in, day out in helping these incredibly special people who wish to join Klal Yisrael. But it's complex. There are lots of different angles to it, and lots of different aspects which need to be understood, not straightforward. And the source for much of it, as we know, comes from Megillas Rus. But the key question which really faces us when we look at it in the context of the Megillah is, when exactly did Rus convert? Was there a Geiros of Rus? A Geiros of Rus and Orpah, when, at which stage? Obviously Orpah we know leaves, but Rus, when is she actually Megaya? And this is a big problem because there's contradictory inferences, if you like, right? The basic pshat level seems to be that she's Megaya when they return from Beis Lechem, right? That's the way we learn in the Gemara and Yevamos famously, and others the Gemara learns the process and the idea and the way we ensure commitment, etc., etc., from the dialogue between Naomi and Rus. Gemara says Yevamosof Mem Zayin Amud Beis. It's a statement of Rabbi Loza. Vatera ki misametzesi lo leches ito vatechdal ledaber eleho. She sees that she is insistent, and she is absolutely clear that she wants to go with her. So she resists. She desists from trying to put her off. Amr la'asad on Tchum Shabbos. Said to her, you know, we can't walk too far on Shabbos. It's difficult. It's complicated. Basher tel chelech, I'm going to go wherever you go. Asad on Yichud. Yichud is asad to us. Basher tolini olein. It doesn't matter. Whatever you go, you sleep, I will sleep. Mafkidinon. Sheish meyos. Mishloshes three mitzvahs. We've got 613 mitzvahs. Amei chami, your people is my people. Asad on avodas kichovim. Avodas zara is asad to us. Velukayach elukoi. Your God is my God. Arba mitzvahs nimsu lebeistin. Four capital punishments were given to Beis Din. Mashet Tomusi Omos, she says, wherever you die, I will die. Beis Kvarim Nimsru to Beis Din. There are two Kvarim for Beis Din. Different, depends on the capital offense, where they're buried. Roshomei Kovel will be buried there. Miyad Vatera Kimesametasi. And then it says, she saw that she was insistent. Similarly, the Medrash says, Medrash Rabbah, it says on the Pasuk, Vayisu Lohem Noshim Ayavios, that they married Moabite women. And it's a statement of Reb Meir, Lo Gairam Veloi Hitbilu Osom. They did not Megaya them, and they did not Tovel them. That's what it says in the Medrash. So you couldn't really get much clearer than that. And what is the difficulty? How can we derive all these halachas if there was a Geiros that took place before? And the difficulty is obvious. How is it possible to understand that two great people, Machlon and Kilion, could leave and go to Moav and marry Moabite women without them going through any sort of Geiros? It's very difficult to understand. And in fact, for this reason, there are reverse inferences. Ibn Ezra says, v'lo yitochein, he says, it's not possible that Machlon and Kilyoy should marry these women, Achin Iskairu, before they converted. V'ha'ed, and he says, I'll bring you a proof, because afterwards, when Orpah says, or when Naomi tries to convince him to go back, it says, go back, Ella, and she went back, Orpah went back, Ella Ma, ve'el Eloiheha. She went back to her people and to her God, her gods, implying, right, that she had left them. They had joined Klal Yisrael, right? And she went back, Orpah turns her back on it, and she goes back to her God. That's the Ibn Ezra's inference, and that is supported, in fact, from the Zohar Chodosh. The Zohar Chodosh says, the same inference, it says, she says to Rus that, or she tells Rus that you're that Orpah has gone back already, and you should follow. Rabbi Nochum, Rabbi Yehuda, Midikama Shova, from the fact that it says she's returned, Melamed Shegiyores Hoyos Abitchila, that she converted originally, and it says she only had one God with Naomi. Va'achshav Chazrus Sichoin Arishon, says the Zohar Chodosh. She went back to her original bad ways. V'tos Achar Avidazor Shelah. And of course, we also know, just again, on a pshat level, the rest of the Megillah. If there was no Geiros Bichlal at all before, right, then what is going on with the whole parsha of Yibum, the whole idea that Boaz has to get involved, right? Yeah, because of the Yibum and the Chalitza. You understand, whatever, you know, all the different things we learn from the end of the Megillah, the Yibum that transpires, the mitzvah of Yibum, how can that apply if indeed they were completely non-Jewish? And this is a substantive issue. I'm going to share with you an approach of the Bach, which leads us into the concept and more broader themes in Geiros generally. The Bach brings the Rambam and bases his answer, and bases his pshat on the Rambam. And the Rambam has a very long discussion in Hilchos Issurei Biyah about the issues with Shimshon's wives and Shlomo HaMelech's wives. Says the Rambam, Al yale al datcha. Don't think to yourself that Shimshon HaMashiach Yisrael is Shlomo Melech Yisrael, Shinikra Yedidya, that Shlomo HaMelech who's called Yedidya, beloved of Hashem, and Shimshon who saved Yisrael, don't think that Nosu Noshim Nachrios Pagiyuson. Don't think to yourself that they married non-Jewish women. El Asoid Adovakachu. The correct way of understanding it, says the Rambam, is like this. Shamitzvah Nachona Kishova Gera Geras Liskaya. Someone comes to me, Megaya Boidkin Acharov. We have to check, we have to investigate. Shema Biglal Momon Shiyito. Maybe it's because of money. Obishvil Sorashi Iskilo, some position they wish to obtain, an office, some state, some level in society. Obibneha Pachad Boilekonis Ladas. It could be because of fear they want to join the faith. The Mishu Boidkin Acharov Shemin of Nosan Be'isha, you heard this. It's a man. We look and maybe he is interested for marriage. Marriage a Jewish lady. It's a woman. We look, maybe that she wants to marry a Jewish man. If you find that there's no other cause, then we tell them about the yoke of the Torah, and we tell them how difficult it is, especially for those who are unlearned, so that we push them off. If they accept it, v'lo pirshu, and they don't desist, they don't remove, they carry on. V'ro eson shechozru mi'avo, and we see that they're coming because of love of Hashem. Mekablinus, and we accept them. And the proof is v'atereki misametzes he loleches ito with Rus, right? And then the Rambam says lefichoch lo kiblu based in gerim. This is the next halacha. Kolim David Shlomo. Therefore, they didn't accept gerim all of the days of David and Shlomo HaMelech. Because maybe they came because of fear of everything that was going on around them. It was the high point, right? They wanted to join because of like what we call Shulchan Melachim. They wanted to join the prestige with which the Jewish people had at that time. So, and again he says, he's not one of the Gerit Tzedek. Va'afal pichein, says the Rambam, there's a twist. Hoyu geirim harbe miskayr mei David Shlomo b'fnei Adyutis. Even though the Gemara says they weren't makabel geirim, but they did. Meaning they were hedyotis, they were ordinary, perhaps, people, or how do you understand, hedyotis, a basin, where they were a bonim, whoever it was. There were private outfits, let's put it like that, but they didn't, whatever it was, who did accept, they Gerim came forward. Well, you based in Agodol, but the based in Agodol, Choshin Lahen, they were concerned about these Gerim, that they weren't really sincere. mikol makom lekavnus on shtira achareson. So they didn't. It was a bit of limbo. They didn't push them away because they had tovel. They had gone through a geirus process during the time of Dovin and Shlomo, but the policy was that you had to be choshesh. You had to suspect that they weren't sincere. So they didn't accept them, and they didn't. They didn't push them away, but they also didn't accept them. They weren't makar of them, fully accept them until they had actually seen what the result would be. Ulafi, now the Rambam says, Ulafi shegir Shlomo noshim v'noson v'chin Shimshon ge'er v'noso. Since Shlomo converted women and married them, Shimshon also was Megaya and married them. V'hadova yodua shlechozru elu ela b'shvil dovor. It's clear that these people were coming to Klal Yisrael for a reason. They were marrying Shimshon or Shlomo HaMelech. V'ra'obi based in Gairim, and they were Megaya them through based in as such. In other words, they were part of this extra based in HaGadol system that was operating or that was going on, and that was how they joined Klal Yisrael in this way. And therefore, that's why the Choshvan HaKosov Kilu Hein Goyos Ubi'isurin Oimdin. And that's why the Pasuk in Malachim considers them, calls them Goyim, and they were still considered to be Isurin. It describes them that way. Okay? And therefore, and actually he says, you see that. Because of course, what happens with Shlomo HaMelech, they end up still keeping their Avodah Zarah, and therefore as a result, it says, Oz Yivne Shlomo Boma. It says, Shlomo built a Boma. As Chazal say, it wasn't he who built a Boma, it was his wives who built a private altar because they continued their Avodah Zarah. So in the other words, it proved as this, you know, as they suspected, that's actually what happened at the end. So this is what was going on. And the key point the Rambam then clarifies for us is as follows. A ger shelo bodku achrov o shelo hudiyah mitzvus ve'oin shon amol tova b'fnei shlosha adyotus hareze ger. Even if you didn't tell him everything, you wouldn't inform him, but he accepted everything. There's a whole discussion of posting exactly how you reconcile the two things. Even if he doesn't know, but he accepts everything, whatever. It happens in front of three adyotus. That person is a ger, even if it's known that he was megaya because of another reason. Since at the end of the day, he was Malva Toval, he's Yotzo Meklal HaGoyim, but you're Choshesh, so he's not considered a non-Jew, but at the same time, you're Choshesh, you have to be suspect him until his righteousness is clarified, okay? And what that means is that you have to be Machme with such a person. He's basically in limbo both ways, you understand? He goes on to say, for example, if he was Mekadesh, a woman, she have to be Choshesh L'Kiddushin, you have to be concerned that maybe she's married. There's a mitzvah to be machzer aveda, return his lost items, etc., etc. And that's why Shimshon and Shlomo kept these women, okay? Even though this is what had transpired. And that's how the Rambam reconciles the case with Shimshon and Shlomo Melech.
Yeah. Go on, Arkis. Can they then go back if they change their minds?
So that's a really interesting question. According to the Rambam, says effectively not, because he says if they do go back, so Avodah Zarah, Hareu Ki Yisrael Meshumod, right? They become like apostate Jews, right? But the Bach says in the Sefer Meshiv Nefesh, he says as follows: Alufiani Astaiti says, based on this Rambam, Nire De Divrei Shnehem Emes. So both of these approaches in Chazal are Emes, because he says if you look carefully, you'll see. It says in the Megillah, "Vayisu lohem noshim me'avios." They married for themselves, lohem. That word lohem, Moabite women, right? Why do you need the word lohem? You say vayisu. They married noshim me'avios. What does it mean lohem? Vayisu lohem. They married for themselves. Says the Bach, it's an extra word, and he says chas v'shalom that Machloin, who was a tzaddik, would marry a woman begiusa when she was still a goy, when he married her, he was Megayer her. He wasn't more a higher level than Shimshon and Shlomo, right? And it went through the same process. They also married Noshim Nochrios in this way. They didn't marry them while they were non-Jewish. But the point is, because you have to do this investigation, livdok achareyan, to make sure the motives are pure, etc., etc. Maybe it's for marriage, maybe it's for something else. Shlomo and Shimshon, they were megaya them and then married them for themselves. But at the end of the day, it wasn't through Beis Din, because it was known that there was another factor involved, and therefore they're criticized for their for what transpired. And he brings this Rambam. And he says, that is exactly what happened, he said, with Orpah and Rus. They did effectively, however we understand this, some sort of private giur in this way, lohem, for themselves, to marry them. And as a result, that's why Reb Meir says, lo gairim v'lo etpilim kedin Torah. That means I'll be based in. They didn't go through a gairus through based in, okay? And that's what it means. And that is how we reconcile the two things. And that's how you can also learn the gairus process from when they make that decision. Rus makes that decision to join Klal Yisrael properly, because although we hold b'dieved kulom gairim, that's the psak of the Rambam, right? That if these types of gairus takes place, you've got to be choshesh l'chumra, you've got to be concerned, you've got to be strict and be concerned that maybe we treat them as Jewish effectively. But at the end of the day, it's in suspension, really, because we're waiting to see what happens at the end. And that's what transpires on the road back to Beis Lechem. That's what, right? Then, if you like, Rus proves herself, and Orpah goes the other direction. So that's the Bach, how the Bach reconciles the two.
So yeah. As a matter of practicality, there wouldn't have been a Beis Din in Moab anyway. Yeah. Unless Chabad has got it.
Yeah. it's a fair comment in terms of the system that was in operation, where they had the option of doing so. But either way, what it does is it provides a pshat and understand, you know, in terms of how we understand and reconcile these Chazal and Drashim. But it also tells us
the whole procedure which you do with Beis Din, like mikveh and all this, they didn't do.
No, what we're trying to say is, again, like, it's absolutely clear, you know, when it comes to how we do gairus nowadays, obviously we don't go down these routes, right? For sure, right? But the point is, the point is that there are circumstances and situations where a form of a gairus takes place where l'chumra, you have to be concerned that maybe it was considered to be a gairus, right? So the, you know, a Beis Din, for example, is it essential to be a kosher gairus? Kind of a kosher gairus without a Beis Din. If they organized a private Beis Din, it's possible for that to happen, right? It's not something you would ever advocate or whatever, etc., etc. And you see, that's what the Rambam says and everything else in the Bach, right? But there was some operation going on, some form of gairus, right? That it was enough to effectively make everyone else concerned. We have to treat them as Jewish to the extent that we have to be lechumra.
It's a verbal commitment.
No, it was an actual process. It's an actual process. It seems to be an actual process, but it's not a process which is sanctioned by Beis Din. That's the point. Yeah.
Could you clarify? Are we saying that Shlomo and Shimshon did a private gairus?
That's what it seems to be saying.
Themselves, or they took a Beis Din?
That's the implication. It's not clear exactly how the Rambam understands it.
Do they do it themselves, or do they take a Beis Din?
Look, the way the Gemara learns it is that all stages of gairus, mila for a man, tefillah, have to take place bifnei Beis Din. So if there is not a Beis Din, if there is not a form Beis Din exactly of three, exactly, however you define that, then it presumably wouldn't have been anything, right? But the point was that the Beis Din HaGadol, that's how the Rambam defines and clarifies and makes the distinction, the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim was not accepting Gerim, right? It was per se. A policy. The policy was because it was too suspect that people were converting for the wrong reasons. So what we're saying is, at the end of the day, what we're understanding is we've got a nice pshat, an important pshat in understanding the Megillas Rus. But we're also learning from here that a din in Gerus, which is that it's essential to be bodek acharov, to check and investigate and make sure they're not being megayah for ulterior motives. It has to be a proper kabbalas mitzvahs. That's essential. And that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish Samaches, Sif Yud Beis, that the same thing as the Rambam, you check and investigate, is it for an ulterior motive? And if you don't find an ulterior motive, then you can continue, etc., etc. In Kiblu Velo Pirishurasim, the Shulchan Aruch says, Shechozrim Mi'avam, Makabnu Asom, you accept them. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, again, the same idea. Let's say you didn't do proper investigations. You didn't inform them about the schar hamitzvahs and their punishments. And they did the stages of Geirus between Mila and Tfila in front of three ordinary people, not necessarily Dayanim, but three Adyotis. This person is a Ger. A filu know that even if it's known, Shemeshvil Dova Humiskaya. They actually converted for an ulterior motive. Hoyle Umol Vatoval, since he performed Bris Mila and Tfila, Yotzim Mikhalo of Dikichovim. He's no longer considered to be an Ovid Kechovim. Again, it's only lechumra. It's really important to understand that. You can't sell them your chumats. You understand? It's a chumra, right? It's a stringency that we have to be concerned. Yeah, exactly. We've got to be machmeh. You can't be mekel. You can't go and marry them. You can't go, right? You understand? But you've got to be choshesh until until it's clarified their righteousness or not. And even it, and then he goes on to say the same thing. If that person then goes along, and it's Ovid Avodah Zarah, he's like a Yisrael Mummah, he's like an apostate Jew, where we've got Kiddush of Kiddushin, you have to be Choshesh, she would need a get, if someone who gave her gets, if he married her, yeah.
So is it that we're Mesupuk, and therefore you get a Chumra, or no, the Halacha is they are Gaia, but they have a new status, where if any...
Yeah, it's interesting. We have to treat them as Gerim. We have to treat them as Gerim because of the Chumrah, right? Because of the Chumrah. But the phrase used is Ad Shetisbara Tzidkosei, until their righteousness is clarified. That means to say, the implication is that if it is clarified, then they would be accepted. I mean, this is very, very complicated, and it's very important to understand that whatever we're saying now is very theoretical. It's not in terms of the practicalities and how things work. In practice, it's quite clear that...
They have to go through the process again.
Yeah, you know, exactly. How it works in practice is obviously very, very complex, and, there will be many situations and scenarios where it's entirely clear where there wasn't a genuine Kabbalah mitzvah in the first place. You see, the Chemda Shlomo says, on this Shulchan, he says, you have to understand something very important, he says. There's a clear distinction between a Kabbalah mitzvah, right, and a Hodor, and informing them about mitzvahs. He says like this, the Kabbalah mitzvahs, he shemakabel, right, olav bistam lichnos b'dekonis b'das Yisrael. There's a Kabbalah, there's an acceptance to become part of Klal Yisrael. V'la'asos kuchol ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvah, right? And to do everything that needs to be done, or the whole Torah. V'idoas ha-mitzvahs, to inform them about mitzvahs. Hu shiudir lo eichos v'chumras ha-mitzvahs, the quality, the stringencies, everything else, how everything works, the punishments, etc., etc., right? And when the Shulchan Aruch says, because one of the cases of Shulchan Aruch is that if they didn't investigate properly, or they didn't inform him, schar hamitzvahs va'onshan, the reward and the punishment. So the kasha everyone asks is, what do you mean? If he doesn't know what he's accepting, how can he be considered a ger at all? How can he even be a ger b'di'evet? How can he be even a ger a chumrah? And that's what the Chemda Shlom is coming to answer. Of course, there has to be a proper Kabbalah. Without a proper Kabbalah mitzvahs, an acceptance, a genuine acceptance of all mitzvahs, then it's nothing. Right? Because that's a key part of the Geirus process. You need Kabbalah mitzvahs, Mila for a man, and Tefillah. Right? You can't do it. And all those three have to be through before a Beis Din. You can't do it without, if you don't have any of those three elements, if any one of the elements are missing, then it's no good. What he means, the Shulchan Aruch means, is Rabbeinu HaGadol B'Shulchanoi HaTor. It's talking about informing them about the schar mitzvahs, the reward and punishment. Kabbalah mitzvah, says the Chemda Shlomo, Kabbalah mitzvah is the Heinu Shiroitze lichnos bedas Yehudis, Pshita Tzarech. That's obviously essential. It's obviously essential, and therefore without that, it doesn't even get to this level. So it's important to understand that very often, especially in contemporary times, that's where... that's the critical ingredient that is missing. Even if you could say that maybe perhaps they were kosher dayonim. Often there's not even that, obviously. If it's any sort of non-orthodox outfit, or obviously it's not kosher dayonim, right? But that goes without saying. Moshe has many shivas about that, right? But even if you would say that maybe it was something you could argue that there was potentially kosher dayonim, then maybe it would qualify as a, you know, and we would need to be concerned l'chumra based on this Shulchan Aruch, and based on this statement of Shulchan Aruch, but it has to be that there is a genuine Kabbalah mitzvah, right? But you be a genuine Kabbalah mitzvah, and plenty of times we will have such a situation. There are circumstances where there's a question over a gerus, question mark over a gerus that took place somewhere, where we may have to, you know, be l'chumra, we have to be choshesh. L'chumra, we have to be strict and concerned that perhaps it's a sofek, it's a doubt. That, as a matter of practicality, that means they'll need to go through a gerus if they want to be accepted as part of the kehillah. Obviously, they're going to have to go through another gerus, right? Because otherwise they're going to remain in limbo for the rest of their lives. That's not going to help anyone, them especially, you know, them especially or us as well. But Rav Moshe also in Igros Moshe in Yeridei Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Nun Zayin, he says he was answering a shaila about a ger where Anan Sadi, we assume Shelo Kibbul Mitzvahs, even though he said that he did, okay, and Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva when he was still in Europe, in Luban, before he came to America, so it's a very early tshuva. I often say it's often worth, when you see a tshuva of Rav Moshe, you need to look at the date, because you need to understand what a gon he was. The date is Zayin Da'aseres Yemei Tshuva. You sometimes see Yom HaPurim on the tshuva, or something like that, right, you know, because it's all the time, whenever, you know, and he says, B'mesh n'sabek v'et rasim ha'gesh l'kibla v'mitzim n'chshav ger. So he was asked a shayla, if a ger who didn't accept mitzvahs, is he considered to be a ger? Poshut uborer she'enu ger klal af b'di'eved. Right? It's clear that he's not a ger, even b'di'eved, if there was no kabbalas mitzvahs, if there was no genuine acceptance of mitzvahs. And he says, that's how his father paskened as well. He had a similar case. She'enu ger klal bein l'kumra, bein l'kula bein l'chumra. Right? If there was no Kabbalah Smitzes, it's nothing, right? Because that's it, Ma'akiv, that's the essential part, that's one of the three essential components of Gerus. And even if Va'afim or Befifshim Makabal Mitzvahs, even if he says he does, Iman Ansadish, Eina Makabal Alov Be'emes, Eina Klum, if we assume and we can see that it was nothing, it's just meaningless just saying the words, then it's nothing. So, the Gershom, Ahani, Lashim, Ishus, B'dievet, everything that we've seen, like the case of Rus and Orpah, right? The whole idea that B'dievet, the Rambam says, and we have to be Machmim, we have to be concerned that maybe it was a Gerus, and B'dievet, it would be a Gerus, and we work out and wait and see what happened. You know, all of this, Gershom, Ahani, Lashim, Ishus, B'dievet, that B'dievet, it works, even if they married for an ulterior purpose, such as marriage, Ari Shabishvilho Ishus, Kibbalolov Mitzvahs, B'emes. Where does that work, B'dievet, that it's considered to be a gerus, at least after the fact, right? That's where it was for marriage, for example, but he was makabel be'emes. But there was a genuine kabbalah. There was a genuine kabbalah smitzvahs, okay? And he says, this is obvious. This is obvious that is the case, right? So this is a very important. It's very important to understand this. And I just want to. There's obviously much more. There's much more to say here, particularly topics that we've only sort of just briefly touched on, which are huge topics in and of their own right. The whole way that's reconciled in terms of people who do approach originally for purposes of. Or they're clear that there's a marriage interest involved, and how you deal with that, how can you make sure there's a Kabbalah mitzvah for MS despite that? It's all very complicated. It's a complicated sugya. But one thing that I'm just going to finish with, the Shach says, Yerodei Reish Samaches Chof Gimel, that he's talking about the Gemara, about Hillel, where Hillel is Megayah, someone Amonosheh Kohen Gadol. And everyone asks the question, how could he do that? How can he convert? Ulterior motives. How can Hillel go along with Megayah? The Gemara is in Shabbos about, you know, when he says Megayah me on one leg, you're familiar with all the sugyas there, right? And he says, Batua Choyas is the Shach, the Sofalas is Shem Shemayim. Hillel was sure that it would be at the end of Shem Shemayim. Umekan Yesh Lilmot says the Shach, from here we learn, Darkol Lefirois Enei HaBeistin. You have to trust Beis Din on this. Everything is according to the way a Beis Din will judge and evaluate and work it out. People don't realize that Gerus is one of the most time-intensive aspects of Beis Din work. It takes hours and hours. It's hugely detailed and involved. That's why many Botei Din don't get involved in Gerus, because it's a huge time pressure. You have to have the resources, the commitment, the time to do it, right? And it's all a Firos Enei HaBeis Din. You have to trust the Beis Din in terms of their evaluation of the individual people and candidates. It's a tremendous schus to be involved in this aspect of based in work, helping Geirei Tzedek. You know, we daven every day. We talk, a lot of times the Torah talks about what a schus it is to help Geirei Tzedek. But it's complex. It's not easy. It's not straightforward. It's something which is a huge mitzvah, but it's very sensitive, and it's something which the Kehillah at large, I think, needs to have that faith and trust in the work of the Beis Din, who, as I've seen firsthand, dedicate immense time and commitment to make sure it's done properly.